Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we would love to hear from you. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question, a life issue you're wrestling with, well, give us a call now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Like we said yesterday, we're encouraging our listeners to take the journey. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, we've created this wonderful new resource called Forgiveness, a 30-day journal, a 30-day devotional, and it's a journey through the Word of God to really discover the fullness of the forgiveness that you have in Christ Jesus, and in that discovery, learning to experience rest, or how to rest in His finished work. It is a life-changing journey, and so many people through the years have taken it with us as we've talked about the forgiveness of God so often here on the broadcast. But we've put all this together in a brand new resource called Forgiveness, a 30-day devotional, our first in our Hear It, Believe It, Live It series of devotionals that we're going to be producing. So we have this as our gift to those who give this month to help us get out the good news to as many people as possible. And it's especially important this month as we're coming to our fiscal year end and wanting to really button up fiscal year 2020 in a very, very positive, strong way. So we want to put this in your hands. But one of the questions that we ask in this book is this question: why did Jesus have to die? And certainly that was the question on the minds of the Jewish leaders of the day. You know, why would their Messiah have to die? That's not the kind of Messiah that they were looking for. That's not the kind of Messiah they were hoping that would come. They wanted a forceful Messiah. Right. They wanted a king. They wanted somebody that could beat up on the Roman Empire and lift up Israel as the preeminent nation on the planet. But that's not the type of Messiah that came into this world. Jesus Christ died. He inhabited a body that God had prepared for him, and then he offered that body as a sacrifice. That doesn't seem like the way to go about things, but that was God's plan before the foundation of the world. So why did Jesus have to die? Well, he wanted to accomplish something for you and me. You and I were bound by the law of sin and death. We were under that judgment, that condemnation, and we needed release from that. And there's only one way. There was only one purchase price, and that was the shed blood of an innocent lamb. Well, Jesus Christ was that Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. So why did he die? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And oftentimes we fail to really understand this. We fail to really see the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. We think God could just look at us and say, I forgive you. And yes, he could have done that, but there was a price that had to be paid, and that price was paid in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. If you get this right, if you let this be the foundation of your understanding of the why of the cross, then it is going to propel you down this journey where you can really embrace the fullness of the forgiveness you have in Christ Jesus. So why did he have to die? Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
And this 30-day devotional called Forgiveness, of course, is our way of saying thank you to our donors for stepping up during this particular time as we approach, as Bob said, the end of our fiscal year. And we have a wonderful $45,000 Good News Matching Give Challenge that will double every dollar you give up to that amount. That doesn't mean you have to give $45,000, but if we all combine and give that $45,000, then it will be matched dollar for dollar. So that comes up to, what, $90,000? And that
goes
a long way toward reaching that you're in need. So, friends, we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net and click donate right there and take advantage of this matching gift challenge. Double the impact of your gift. That's basicgospel.net. And you can also mail your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And as Bob says, and I said, as you make your gift, we're going to send you the 30-day devotional called Forgiveness. And it's your opportunity to step into the joy of a deep personal relationship with our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you right now. If you're listening to the live broadcast at 5 after 3 p.m. Central Time, the number 844-322-2742 is open for you right now. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this call come in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi. I was just wondering if you could explain blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I've heard so many different things about what it is and who can commit it that I'm really confused about it. I've heard that it's continuing repetitive sin. I've heard that it's putting off the Holy Spirit until death. I've heard that it's actually saying that something that the Holy Spirit does is of the devil. So I'm just trying to figure out what it is. Thank you.
Well, that's a very important question, and one that we all want an answer for. What does it mean to commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And this is the unpardonable sin, as Jesus states it in Matthew chapter 12. He says there was a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute, and this demon-oppressed man was brought to Jesus. And Jesus healed him so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the Son of God?" So through his miracles, Jesus was carrying this neon flashing sign for the people, saying, "Hey, take a look at me.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that you've been waiting for. I'm the guy that the prophets have been speaking of for so many years. I'm on the scene now. I'm doing things that only I can do." And but when the Pharisees heard it, so there's the people, they're asking these questions, but then there's the Pharisees, the religious leaders. "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man cast out demons." So they were attributing the healing power of Jesus Christ to Satan himself, that Satan was working through Jesus to bring this about. He says, "Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself.'" So what was bringing about the oppression of this man? Demons. He was demon oppressed. And so why would Satan cast out himself from a man when he had control of that particular man? And Jesus was saying, why would that be? Satan is not going to cast out Satan, so I'm not doing this. I mean, just look at this logically.
Yeah.
Just see what the picture really is. I'm casting out this demon, and so I'm not doing it by the power of Satan. That just makes absolutely no sense at all. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you."
Mm.
So he's saying, what's the source? Who is the source of this? And the Pharisees were saying, the source of your power, the source of your miraculous work is Satan himself. And Jesus is saying, that doesn't make sense logically. So I'm telling you, the source, the power, is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God working through me to bring this about. So he says, "Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. and whoever speaks a word against the Son of God, Son of Man, will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. So that's the story about the blasphemy, the sin of blasphemy. And so Jesus really identifies it as speaking a word against the Spirit of God, yeah, or attributing the works of God's Spirit to Satan and the demons.
Sure. Yeah.
That's exactly what they were doing. So we have to ask ourselves, what is God's Spirit doing here and now? Well, God's Spirit, as Jesus told his disciples, is going out into the world, and he is convincing the world wrong about three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because the world does not believe in Jesus. About righteousness, because Jesus goes to the Father. Where is righteousness to be found? In Jesus. And concerning judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. By who? Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, his work in the world today is to lift up the person and work of Jesus Christ and draw people unto Jesus.
Yeah.
So if somebody is saying that is a work of Satan, if they say with their lips that that work to convince the world to believe in Jesus is a work of Satan, then they're going to reject the offer that Jesus has put on the table, the offer of forgiveness and of life, mm-hmm, that is by grace through faith in him. Yeah. So what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? It is the rejection of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Now, can a Christian commit that? Absolutely not. Why? Because you have not rejected the offer of forgiveness and life through faith in Jesus. You've received that gift. You have been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. You've been made alive through the regenerating work of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit has come to live inside of you, bearing witness with your human spirit that you belong to Christ, that you are a child of God, a co-heir with Jesus Christ. That's good news.
Yes.
So a Christian cannot commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Only a lost person can do that. Only a lost person can say, Holy Spirit, I believe you're of Satan trying to convince me that I need to believe in Jesus. And when somebody does that, that is the ultimate act of rebellion. That is the ultimate act of raising that fist to God and saying, I want nothing to do with you. I want nothing to do with your Jesus. And I don't want anything to do with your Spirit trying to convince me that this is the way, the truth, and the life.
And that's not a good place to be.
Not a good place to be at all.
Well, a good place to be for you, friends, is right here at Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. If it's about 13 after 3 Central Time, well, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. 2742. By the way, if you can't get to church on Sunday morning, well, you're invited to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live. That's Sunday mornings 9:30 Central on Facebook and YouTube. Just use the direct links to the top of our homepage. That's basicgospel.net, of course. And again, that's 9:30 Sunday mornings with Bob Christopher for Sunday Morning Live. Well, Bob, another call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
I just want to say before I start, ask this question that we can thank God from now until eternity, and it wouldn't be enough to thank him for what he has done for us. My question is, yesterday a gentleman asked what was the first miracle, whether here on earth or in heaven. One said it was the creation of the earth. Another gentleman said when God took a rib from Adam and created woman, and I thought it was here on earth, probably at the wedding at Canaan when he turned water into wine. I experienced a miracle July the 5th, 2009. When the Lord saved, healed, and delivered me from alcohol and drugs and everything that the streets had to offer. Well, here I am 11 years later. I am free of drugs and alcohol. I just want to thank him today. And if there's anyone out there struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, anything, give it to God. And I promise you, he will save you and you will never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus. You gentlemen have a blessed day in the Lord.
And I'm sure there are many people listening who have exactly that same issue.
Absolutely. And Hector, thank you for sharing that testimony. And yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As far as Jesus, as far as his first miracle after he came on the scene. I think that was the miracle at Cana, turning the water into wine. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, what in essence is a miracle? It's a supernatural thing that God does outside of the laws of nature, the laws of physics. It's something that those laws can't explain. So God injects himself into a situation and brings about something that is impossible otherwise to do. Now, that's why we have to look at our new birth as a miracle, because the laws of physics can't explain the work of God's Spirit to regenerate us and to come and live inside of us. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a horrible place to be. And there's nothing, there's no force on planet Earth that could change that. I mean, scientists have been trying to figure out a solution for death. They've been trying to figure out how, when somebody dies, how we can put life back into them. And it's just not going to work. Why? We just are limited. We don't have that capacity as far as our intellectual abilities are concerned. And we don't have enough power that we can generate to make that happen. But God does. He has power over death. And miraculously, he sends that power to us in the form of the Spirit of God, and he regenerates us. He gives us new life. And in giving us new life, he sets us free from the power of sin and death, death that once held us, that once held us captive. So we have to look at this new birth as a miracle. Yes. And I think anybody who has come to Christ by faith has experienced a miracle. And they're never going to experience a greater miracle than that. Why? Because it's a miracle that gives us life everlasting. That when we die, this miracle of new life in Jesus Christ doesn't mean we're dead. Our bodies may be dead, but we live on. We simply are absent from the body and present with the Lord. Why? Because we've received the miracle of life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And in that life, there is freedom. And that's exactly what Hector was talking about, the freedom that he's experienced from alcohol and all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
And anybody who has experienced new life in Jesus Christ can experience that same freedom as well.
Hector, glad you reached out, and we rejoice with you over the things that have been overcome through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people across North America and from around the world have contacted Basic Gospel to say that the message of hope, of grace, and of life that they have heard on this program had either made a difference in their understanding of the gospel or had changed their life forever. Friends, if you are supporting Basic Gospel and you're giving back from what God gave you, well, and you give to this ministry, well, you're having a part in that. And at Basic Gospel, we're up against the final week of our fiscal year ending on the 30th, and we very much need your help to reach the $130,000 that will close the year without incurring debt. And remember, every gift that you give will be doubled in our Good News Matching Gift Challenge. Please make your most generous gift today if you can to help us reach that year-end need. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and with our matching gift challenge, you will double the impact of your gift. That's basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right on the homepage. You can also mail your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And when you make your gift, we're going to say thanks by sending you a copy of our 30-day devotional called Forgiveness that will help you enter into the joy of knowing your total forgiveness and acceptance in Jesus Christ. This devotional is yours as you click donate at basicgospel.net or when you mail your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, and that, of course, in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Well, Bob, we had this question from Lula, who wrote to us from Seattle, Washington. She says, how does a person examine themselves to see if they are in the faith?
Well, Bob, that is a great question, and it's a challenge that the Apostle Paul posed to the church at Corinth. So he had written his first letter, and he said some amazing things in that first letter. Then you know, like, for example, this was what you once were, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been glorified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about in that first letter that you individually have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Right. God's Spirit lives in you, that we corporately, as a body of believers, have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He talks about love, this great love that we have from God and that we can express to others. He talks about resurrection and the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And apart from that, where our faith is futile and we're still in our sins. And what this resurrection means for us as far as our future hope, that we're going to get new resurrected bodies. Mm-hmm. So he's just pouring out some incredible truth in these letters. He gets into his second letter, and he talks about the new covenant, the fact that we're no longer under the condemnation of sin and death, but we've been given new life through the Spirit, and in this new life we have freedom. So we see that in chapter 3, and then in chapter 4 we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we have this new life in these vessels of ours, and how we've been reconciled in chapter 5, and how through that reconciliation we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. So he's just pouring out incredible theological truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, life-changing stuff.
Yeah.
But mixed in with all of that, he has this chastisement, this disciplining of the Corinthians. Why? Because they were taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. They weren't considering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The haves were ostracizing the have-nots. There were all kinds of divisions within the body there at Corinth. There was all kinds of sexual immorality. And Paul was disciplining them through this letter, giving them some truth and trying to sober them up, trying to wake them up to the realities of what new life in Christ is all about. And when he gets to the end of chapter 13, he makes this statement, and it's one of those great statements. He says, "This is the third time that I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And I warn those who sinned before and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them, since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me." So he says, "For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also who are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God." He says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." Mm-hmm. So he's simply saying, have you heard the message? Have you heard the message concerning Christ? Have you heard that he died for your sins? Have you heard that he was buried? Have you heard that he was raised back to life? Have you believed that message concerning Christ? And in believing, have you received his very life? Have you become a dwelling place for the Spirit of God here on earth? And so that's what the examination is all about. Have you really heard and understood the gospel for what it clearly is?
Lula, great that you reached out. We appreciate it and hope this has been a help to you. And friends, thank you for being with us for Basic Gospel today. And of course, the end of the month approaches with a high mountain to climb, but we have the Good News Matching Gift Challenge that doubles every gift that you give up to $45,000. So let's all pull together to make that match. Please donate now at basicgospel.net or by mail to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And we'll say thank you, as we have been talking about. Thank you for your gift by sending you a copy of our new 30-day devotional called Forgiveness, an open door to experience a deep personal connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's yours as you make your gift online to basicgospel.net or by mail to Basic Gospel at, again, the address, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Well, friends, if you have a question overnight, don't hesitate to use the voicemail system. Just give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.